The Gospel of Luke. Children at this time are dismissed for junior church. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I got a lot of stuff up here this morning, but none of it's junk. We're going to be looking in a few moments Let me find the scripture here. Chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. This morning's message is based on a present reality and also a popular phrase. I've titled this morning's message, Fear This. Have you ever seen that? Fear This. You can find that phrase on t-shirts, bumper stickers, and window decals, each depicting a different element of fear. Why? Because fear is a great motivator. Fear is an awesome controller. Some cults use fear as the means of choice to keep their members faithful to their form of doctrine. While fear can be a great motivator and is a very efficient control mechanism, it can also be very debilitating. We've all heard of stories of individuals confined to their homes because of fear. In recent times, one of the world's wealthiest men was also its most notorious recluse because of his fear of germs. God also recognizes the motivational aspect of fear, and he instructs us to fear him. Numerous times he told the Israelites that they needed to fear him. Just before their entrance into the promised land, he instructed Moses to refresh his law in the minds of the people so that they could learn to fear him. We're also given insight throughout Scripture into the reason why many individuals pursue a life of sin, why many individuals are caught up in pursuing and fulfilling the desires of the flesh. The psalmist said there is no fear of God before their eyes. Iniquity is able to speak to the heart, he said, because there's no fear of God before their eyes. We're told by the writer of Proverbs that it is by the fear of the Lord that men depart from evil. Not in the recent history of this republic has there been such a pervasive sense of fear as that instigated by the terrorist attack on September 11th. What's the aim of a terrorist? What's the goal of terror? The whole point of terrorism, the whole goal and aim of the terrorist, is to instill terror. You know what terror is? It's fear intensified. Terror is nothing more than an intense feeling of fear, an overcoming sense of fear. From the terrorist point of view, the multiple attacks on September 11th were a success. Because those acts, despicable as they were, generated fear in the hearts of the majority of Americans. In effect, those terrorists said, "Fear this." And we did. And we do. We are learning to live with an element of fear that was not part of our lives before that fateful day. What has happened is that a relatively small and poorly equipped segment of the world society is now exercising a large measure of control over the world's greatest nation. One of the things that Jesus spoke to his disciples about was the end times. They had asked him when those things he spoke of would come to pass. And in his answer to them, he revealed to them some of the coming events and the fact that many would lose heart because of fear. He said it this way in Luke chapter 21, verse 26. He said, "Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world." Men will faint from terror. The fainting from terror mentioned here is caused by apprehension of what is coming. Before those terrorist attacks on September 11th, do you think the people in those twin towers were fearful of planes crashing into them? No. No fear. What about today? Numerous individuals are fearful of flying, of being in buildings that could be the object of terrorist attack. So the fainting from terror that is mentioned here is caused by apprehension of what is coming next. In other words, waiting for the other shoe to fall. What else are they going to do? We were told to stay out of malls around Halloween. In my own experience, I felt with a certainty that some calamitous event was going to happen over the Christmas shopping days. What generated that but fear? One writer made the statement, and I quote, "Right on the heels of the September 11th attacks came the anthrax scare. Suddenly the fear shifted from transportation to communication. In the meantime, the airline industry has suffered great financial losses due to the public's increased fear of flying. And the fears resulting from the mailing of anthrax has depressed the U.S. post office income, which means another postage hike is in the works." He went on to say, if that isn't enough, new fears are being propagated. For example, many fear that our food supply could easily be sabotaged by organized terrorist groups, obviously causing immeasurable damage to any country. When will it stop? Where will it end? End quote. How are we to act as Christians in the face of this encroaching fear? Well, we should take our cue from the disciples when they were faced with coming terror. Into that mayhem and confusion came the words of Jesus. Fear not. He said to them in Luke chapter 21, verse 9, don't be terrified. That's not just a suggestion, beloved people. It's a command. Don't be terrified. But we say to ourselves, how can we help it? Fear is a natural response. I believe that there are two things that need to be underscored in our thinking in order for us to be able to deal with the element of fear. First of all, for the Christian, to not fear is not an unconscious choice. For the Christian to be involved in not fearing, that is not an unconscious choice. In other words, it's not something that happens automatically. This is not something that we don't have to think about. Fear is a strong emotion, and it must be dealt with. It must be dealt with. In preparation for this morning's message, I got on the internet, and I looked up phobia. I was trying to find some words that ended with phobia. I was amazed. I printed them out. 16 pages of phobias. Let me read a couple of them. Neophobia. Fear of anything new. Some people in this church suffer from that. Let me give you another one. Some of these have real strong spiritual implications. The fear of church. Ecclesiophobia. I mean, there are pages here. I thought this one was of special significance. Pantherophobia. You know what pantherophobia is? Do you have it? I can say I don't have this one. Because pantherophobia is fear of mother-in-laws. Some of you may suffer from this one. Homilophobia, fear of sermons. It's an incredible list. The last one I want to draw your attention to is phronemophobia. Phronemophobia. Fear of thinking. If you want copies of this, we can make them available. But as I was reading through this, I thought, you know, not only does the Bible have a lot to say about fear, but the world has a lot to say about fear. There's a lot of fears out there. A lot of people are overwhelmed by them. In fact, this particular website tells us that you can get a phobia list t-shirt. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Christians had a t-shirt that said, no fear, and all of these things were listed, all of these phobia fears were listed. No fear. You see, that's God's goal for us. No fear. I've already seen t-shirts that say, fear this, and then it talks about God and coming judgment. Beloved people, it doesn't matter what kind of fear we're talking about, where you find yourself in that list, they must be dealt with. They just don't automatically go away. Beloved people, it is a conscious choice. In order to be free from fear, it is a conscious choice of who and what we listen to. A conscious choice. That's not to say that we are to tune out the voice of reason. But it is to say that we are to tune in to spiritual reality. Amen. One of the ways some people deal with fear is by refusing to hear the truth of what is happening, or refusing to deal with it according to the measure that God has given. And that is not what Jesus had in mind when he said to his disciples in verse 8, "Don't be deceived." He wasn't saying to them, "Don't listen." He wasn't saying to them, "Don't recognize the fact that fear is a reality." He's saying, "Don't be deceived. Don't buy into it. There is a way out of it. There is a way over it." Not only is it a conscious choice of who and what we listen to, but it is also a conscious choice of who or what we lean on. David Wilkerson, in a recent letter to his readers of the Times Square Church pulpit, made this statement. It's quite extensive, but I want to read it to you in its entirety because it has tremendous impact. It is actually a prophetic word. He says, and I quote, "Recently in Times Square Church, a holy hush came over the congregation. There wasn't a sound. Only a profound sense of God's presence filled the place. In that awesome quiet, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I was moved to give the following prophetic word. Very fearful times are just ahead. Even now, while the nation and the city are still in fear, there are great calamities still to come to America. I warn you because I love you, and I want you to draw near to me." Remember, this is Jesus speaking. Not David Wilkerson. He said, "When you hear these things, you are not to fear. My word says men's hearts shall fail them for fear. But when you see these things suddenly coming upon the nation and upon this city, you are not to fear. You are to run to me in your mind and in your heart. Immediately run to me and my embrace, because I will keep you. I will hold you safe in my arms if you will come in confidence and faith in me and not be afraid. This will be your testimony in the days ahead, that around you on the job, on the subways, everywhere you go, people are literally going to break down and weep and cry, 'Why? Why? Why?' Even now they do so. But you are not to cry, 'Why?' You are to say, 'Even so, come, Lord Jesus.' To be not afraid. Much more is to come, frightening the whole world. But my people will rise up in faith. And I promise that if you will trust me, I will keep you from the wicked one. I will keep you from the spirit of this age. I will send angels to walk with you and to guard you. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper." Then David Wilkerson concluded his remarks with these words: "The message of prophecy God gave me is, do not fear. Do not fear. He will keep us through unemployment, and he will go with us through every kind of calamity. We are to trust him." End quote. For the Christian, to not fear is also an uncontested choice. To not fear is an uncontested choice. Are we going to fear those events orchestrated by man? Or are we going to fear God? To the discerning heart, it's no contest. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said to his disciples, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The psalmist said in Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He said again in Psalm 118, beginning at verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Beloved people, in conclusion this morning, I want to conclude with another word from David Wilkerson. He has put out a pocket calendar. And I thought it was interesting because when I came over here this morning, in order to keep all of my things together, I put all of those lists of fears inside the pocket calendar. And the pocket calendar says, "Fear not." This is what God wants to do with our fears, beloved people. He wants to wrap them in his word and extinguish their power in our lives. Amen. In the inside cover of this promise booklet, he writes, "Beloved, I have one very special word for you to remember all through the year 2002. It is simply this: the evidence of faith is quietness and rest. Trust God in everything. Everything. And your heart will always be resting in peace. Say with confidence, I will fear no evil." End quote. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, that's when it becomes reality. How many of you believe this morning in your heart that you have the ability through the Lord Jesus Christ to fear no evil? Let me see your hand. Would you put speech to your faith, feet to your faith, by saying, "I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil." That comes from Psalm 23. The light that came to bring definition to the valley of the shadow of death. He said, "I will fear no evil." Why? Because his shepherd is with him. Beloved people, we need not fear any calamity. We have an incredible hope. A hope based not on David Wilkerson's words, not on Pastor Tom's words, but a hope that is based on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. A hope that is based on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A hope that is based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A hope that will not fail. And that hope says, "I will fear no evil." Our prayer is that the Lord would make it so in 2002. Would you join me before the throne of grace? And Father, that is the desire of our hearts, and we know it's the desire of yours. And your word tells us that if we pray and ask anything according to your will, we know that it shall be done. So we are praying and asking for your grace to come into each life and to completely extinguish every fear, no matter how great no matter how small, no matter how silly, no matter how serious. Fear keeps us from experiencing your perfect love, because your word tells us that perfect love casts out fear. May that be a reality by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen.
Amen.